Welcome back to the National Defense. Nate Herron here in the studio, and we are joined today by Jennifer Brace, the chief futurist for Ford Motor Company, which that's just such a cool sounding title. Jennifer, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great.
So what is a futurist?
Well, first off, it is the coolest title at the company. I hold that with pride, but it's what we really do. We spend a lot of time looking at what we see happening around the world. We're tracking trends, and then we're trying to anticipate how they might play out so that we can help teams with their strategies and preparing for a future that often feels uncertain. We try to bring some level of comfort and robustness to decisions that are being made by considering lots of different futures and ways that things could go so that teams have put together some strategies when it comes to thinking about what the future might hold.
So we've got a lot of veterans listening to this program, of course, as well. We're on American Forces Network and have active duty folks. If you've got someone who's listening on a base right now and they're like, a futurist, how do I get that job? What type of skills go into being a futurist?
Sure. So a lot of the things that we do, number one, you have to like to read. You have to have a thirst for knowledge because there's a ton of just scanning and looking at data and information and reading news from around the world, trying to understand what's happening and starting to identify patterns and signals that you're seeing, starting to cross those against one another, and then building those into different futures. And so it takes a little bit of, sometimes it helps to have a little creativity. You don't want to go too far into the creativity realm. You want to make sure that it is rooted in actual trends that you're seeing so that they are all plausible, the futures that you're looking at. But there's a lot of basically, I tell anybody who's interested in working on my team, you have to like to read. Mm-hmm. It's really good if you're able to kind of like connect the dots between things that feel like they're not connected, things in disparate spaces. So if you're seeing a signal maybe in a social space and you think about another signal that you might be seeing in the technology space, what happens when they collide with one another?
Interesting.
So yeah, it's a fascinating field. I feel quite fortunate that I've been able to be working in it here at Ford.
Well, it's funny that we're talking today because one of the kids that plays on my kid's hockey team, his dad is at Leavenworth and he's in psychological operations, and his specialty is mostly just scouring social media. And he was talking about signals just last night and how, you know, the Pentagon has started to use social media platforms to kind of be able to predict volatility around the world. And I'll ask you the same question I asked him. What have you found in your career to be the most unreliable source of signals?
Oh, goodness. Unreliable source of signals. The family dinner party seems to be particularly unreliable.
Drunk Uncle Chet, he's got another theory about something.
He's got lots of ideas. I don't know if you should always listen to him. But that's so, I love that they're pulling signals from social media. It's a place to look for sure. You have to clearly be cautious about anything you're seeing in a space like that. One of the big things that we always do when we are looking at signals is if we're reading about it, for example, like in an article or something like that, we're always trying to get to the source data, trying to understand what did this get written by or written off of, basically. Was there a study or a research paper that's being sourced or cited? And then we always try to make sure we go back to the original so we're not just taking somebody else's interpretation of a study or some data. And then, of course, we run some of our own data. So this is like this year, we are on our 12th year of a trend report that we publish externally. So it is available to the public at FordTrends.com. And this is where we're tracking trends and we're looking at what we see happening around the world from a consumer sentiment perspective. It's high level. We're looking at social, technological, economic, environmental, political arenas. And we are asking people questions. We're trying to see how they feel about all of these kind of different things that are happening around the world. And then what we do is we look for any patterns that we see. Where is it different in different parts of the world? Or how might different generations be answering these questions? Because that can give us some clues and some signals as to how values, behaviors, attitudes might be shifting around the world.
So values generally don't change.
That's
behaviors
right.
can change, but attitudes mm-hmm. can swing wildly. How do you That's manage? Right. I mean, you hear all year this year, 2023, inflation, the economy's horrible. It's terrible. No one's got any money. And then right after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, oh my God, we've spent more money on Christmas presents than we ever have in the history of mankind. You know, that's squaring right. feelings with the data, that's got to be tough.
Absolutely. We are irrational beings at our core as humans. But you're right. So values, we always say that, are endearing. And what is always interesting is when we do see values kind of being projected differently from a generational perspective, because they are typically formed in your late teens, early 20s, and they stick throughout your life. Mm-hmm. But you're right. The way that they show up in your behaviors and your attitudes is really dependent on the context around you. And when it comes to, yes, this constant the news being often very, doomsday
sensational
feeling. Yeah. And we see it. We see it in the data that we get in terms of people saying that they feel overwhelmed, that they feel anxious. We see anxiety being higher in our younger generations. This has been consistent for years, quite frankly. But everyone's got this sense of kind of unpredictability within the world. Mm-hmm. And then when I rationalize, well, goodness, why are people going nuts then, on holidays and things like that? We're seeing that people are really looking to control the variables that they have within themselves, prioritizing themselves and those around them. So I can see that as being one of the kind of bright spots in terms of them wanting to maybe treat themselves and the ones around them. But we also saw that last year, what people were saying was, the world feels unpredictable. And I'm not going to, deprive myself of the comforts of life today for mm-hmm. a future that feels uncertain. So it's this kind of carpe diem perspective of, let's seize the day. Let's live now. Let's enjoy what we have in the moment. So I would rationalize it that way.
We are speaking with Jennifer Brace, chief futurist for Ford Motor Company, and you've got this new report released. People can access at fordtrends.com. You were talking, before we got on the air, we were talking about money and talking about attitude and quality of life. You guys uncovered a pretty startling statistic on work-life balance versus finance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were surprised by this number. But what we got was, so 52% of employed people, so just over half of employed respondents globally, said that to achieve a lifestyle that prioritizes their quality of life, they would be willing to take a 20% pay cut.
20. Wow.
20%. Yeah, it's a big number. And I'll be honest, when we were writing the question, we were playing with like, how big should that pay cut number be? We wanted it to be something that people would feel, because we really want to know, like, really, how important is quality of life? What are you really willing to give up for it? So to be honest, I didn't expect the number to be so high.
So
I didn't expect half of people to say that they would be willing to do that.
Over half said 20%. So what goes into that? Is it purely number of hours clocked, or is it workplace environment, or is it just a whole bunch of different variables?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, we didn't dig deeper. We only had the question as it was written in terms of, would you take that 20% pay cut, and people could agree or disagree. So unfortunately, I don't have that deeper meaning behind it. But I can say, if I look, so that was a global number. In the U.S. overall, we were on par with that. But when I cut it by generation, we actually do have some difference. So our younger generations, both Gen Z and millennials, they average in about 58% saying that they're willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So pretty high, even higher than the average. But if I look at baby boomers, they're at 33%. So baby
that's
boomers
a
saying,
stark
hey,
difference.
Yeah, a big difference.
And that's
exactly.
Two different pools of people. One is frantically saving for retirement, or is in it already. And the other one, again, carpe diem, the whole YOLO thing. You got
exactly.
YOLO, you only live once, versus Andy Samberg and the guys from Saturday Night Live, is that you ought to look out. Was how they they had changed it.
That's right.
So
that's right.
So Ford has got you as a chief futurist. You're going through all these different data sets and questions that are being asked around, not just in the United States, around the world. How does that translate? We pivot towards the vehicle side of things. You know, Ford, of course, doing a great job with all their EVs, and you're seeing them all over the place, especially around military bases. You know, you got a Ford dealer usually pretty close by. How does this translate to what we're seeing on the road?
Yeah, so we do, of course, want to check in on how people are feeling. You might imagine the shift from, you know, internal combustion engine to hybrid to plug-in hybrid to EVs is a hot topic within the company. So we do ask a few questions in this space. And what we were seeing is people are concerned about climate. They're worried about climate change. They're saying that they're actively changing their behavior to help in fighting against climate change. But when we dig just a little bit deeper, we find that 2/3 of people are saying that they're really only willing to embrace sustainable initiatives if the inconvenience to them is small or non-existent.
Sure.
Meaning, I'm not going to do it if it's a big change or if it's hard. Make it easy for me.
Yeah.
Which you know, I get it. I appreciate it. We're all just trying to get through day by day. So to me, I take that back into the company and we say, hey, this is really important, especially when we think about electric vehicles. If it's going to be a really big shift for people, we really have to be cognizant of the fact that we're asking them to make a change, and we need to make it as easy as possible for them. We need to make sure they understand why it's a benefit. It's not just, it should be making their life easier and better. And what we're seeing, though, from consumers is that a lot of our consumers are saying that, yes, they want people to do more of it. One of my favorite stats is that we had, 47% of people saying that they think that others should be driving electric vehicles to help fight climate change, yet only 4% of people said that they're actually doing it themselves.
That's, you couldn't have put a finer point on the human condition than that.
Right.
47.
If everybody else could
yeah,
fix it,
you
that'd
should
be great.
Do it. And 4. Wow. That's
yeah. Which I smile at a little bit because it's the do as I say, not as I do.
Sure.
But we also recognize a vehicle is a really big choice. It's a big decision in your life, and not everyone has the ability to switch over just, you know, on the drop of a hat.
Sure. Sure.
So we also wanted to understand, okay, what's holding people back? What are they worried about? We continue to hear infrastructure to support the electric vehicles as
yes.
a concern. About 3 in 4 people were saying that it's a concern that's actually consistent with data that we saw 4 years ago. So still a lot of concerns around that infrastructure, despite the fact that we know the infrastructure has gotten better. We're still kind of fighting that fight with consumers and making sure they understand that they have options. One of the big things we did this year was we actually partnered with Tesla. So now Ford vehicles can use the Tesla chargers as well, trying to make it easier for consumers and taking advantage of some of the infrastructure that's already there.
Right. Right.
And
that was big because Tesla had kind of gotten out ahead of the curve to a certain extent
those
charging stations. I mean, you found a bunch all over, but I mean, I liken it to recycling. And like when we were kids, you didn't have a recycling bin at your house. You didn't wheel it out to the street and have a separate car come and pick it up. Everything went to the landfill. And there's education about why things are the way they are and why we need to do this and how to sort your, you know, separate your glass from the plastic and whatever else. And I think there's a lot of echoes in that with the EVs, and there's just uncertainty, and it's like turning a battleship. I mean, those things do not happen quickly. And I mean, case in point, I could have gotten with my wife out in Las Vegas right before the Formula One race a couple weeks ago, and we got offered an EV vehicle at our rental car place. And I'm like, sweet, awesome. And then I started thinking, I'm like, oh, do they charge me if I don't charge it up all the way? Where do I charge it? If I pick it at a valet, are they going to charge it? Like those real life sort of anxiety issues on not knowing, they loom large for people. And I think it's interesting that partnership with Tesla, I mean, they've got to get the infrastructure between, you know, private companies like what Ford is doing now, what Tesla's done, and, you know, what the Department of Transportation is kind of trying to undertake. I think those are all interesting avenues. Again, we're talking with Jennifer Brace, Chief Futurist for Ford Motor Company. Again, where can they find all the information on this report? And is there any other nuggets that you would encourage our listeners to try to dig into?
Sure. So you can go to FordTrends.com. It's an interactive website. It's kind of fun because you can sort the data and look at it across the globe and kind of play with some different menus of seeing different data cuts. If it's not obvious, I'm kind of a data nerd at heart. So I love getting to play with things like that. And in terms of, I'll give you a little teaser. Another big topic this year was AI and how that might impact us.
Oh gosh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So there's lots of information there. One of the, just because you appreciated it earlier, the do as I say, not as I do, or it's going to happen to other people. When we asked people if they were worried about AI creating massive job loss for others, 68% agreed. And then when we asked if they were concerned about it creating job loss for themselves, we were down at 39%. So again, jeez, it's going to happen to other people, not to me.
I, for one, welcome our new computer overlords. Take my job.
Good. Take some off. I'm okay with them taking some of the work off my plate. I'm good.
It's funny just with AI and, you know, right now it's mostly that we're on the public side of things. We're seeing, you know, image generation, videos, sounds, mm-hmm. those sorts of stuff. And even you Google image search something like a famous person, and you're pretty likely to see, at least in your top results, something that has been generated by AI. I'm curious where Ford is on what they're using for AI. I mean, I've got a 2020 Ford Explorer, and my kids keep talking about how it's the smartest car in the world. I'm like, yeah, it can it can tell. It keeps me from backing into fire hydrants and stuff. I'm excited to see what the futurist team from Ford continues to bring us. But we'd love to have you back on the show here. Maybe make this like an annual thing when you put this report out.
That's right. Yep. We put it out every December. So I would be happy to come back.
All right. Well, sounds good. We've been, again, talking with Jennifer Brace, Chief Futurist for Ford Motor Company. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you.
We'll be right back on the National Defense.